Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Revelation Devotional, our next to last Revelation Devotional. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. I hope your day is off to a good start. I got my cup of coffee, and we are ready to dig back into New Jerusalem and expand a little bit further. So the description of New Jerusalem itself expands across the last two chapters in the Bible. It begins really improper at Revelation 21:9, and then it goes until Revelation 22:5. And then Friday morning, we're going to take a look, Lord willing, at the end of chapter 22, where there's sort of the driving home the message of the book and its application and the call to respond appropriately to the book. But today we're going to be back in New Jerusalem, which we looked at on Monday, but we're going to take a deeper look at the imagery, the symbolism, the significance of this city, which is our destiny. More than our destination, where we will live, this is our destiny. This is who we will be. We will be the city of God, the temple, the bride of Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for saving us by your grace, calling us to yourself, keeping us by your grace, and blessing us every day by your grace. We do pray, Father, that you would bless our time together, that you would make it rich and meaningful, that you would speak your word to us, that you would write your word in our hearts, and that we would know Christ more deeply for the time that we spend in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, let's dig in to God's word together. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the 12 gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were written the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies four square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city's foundation was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light the nations will walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen. What a glorious picture of this beautiful city, which again, it's a city, it's a temple, it's the bride of Christ. This is the church in all of her glory. This final chapter of Scripture, or this final vision of Scripture before the last application message, this final vision of Scripture really ties together pretty much all the major themes of Scripture. And it drives home the importance of seeing all of Scripture as one story about one people of God that spans across what we call the Old Testament and the New Testament, or before the coming of Christ and since the coming of Christ. This is not two peoples with two stories. This is one people with one story. Because we all end up together, all believers, all of those who trust in the promises of God, who hope in the Messiah, all end up in one city together. And the number 12 dominates that city because that is the number of the people of God. But notice that the 12 gates have the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel, and the 12 foundations have the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. We saw earlier in Revelation the 24 elders, and now we get more unfolding of this 24 elders. Why 24 elders? Well, there's 12 tribes of Israel, and there's 12 apostles of the Lamb, and they're in one holy city, which is New Jerusalem. What earthly Jerusalem was in the Old Testament, the church as the spiritual Jerusalem is now in the New Testament, and New Jerusalem will be in the future. And that is the home of the people of God, the dwelling place of the presence of God, the manifestation of the kingdom of God, and that is us. That is us. We're told that we are living stones being built up into the temple of God. We are told that we are citizens of the holy city, the city that has foundations, Hebrews 11, whose builder and architect is God. The Old Testament saints, Hebrews 11 tells us, they weren't really looking for an earthly city. They weren't really looking for an earthly Jerusalem. They were looking for the city that was to come. And that city that was to come is now the church, spiritually, and will be the church in glory, this glorified people of God. Now, 12 gates, three on each of the four sides, with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then 12 foundations with 12 precious foundation stones. Both of these images are drawn from the tabernacle that was given to Moses and the high priest that was given to Moses. Let me just draw your attention to that a little bit here. So when Moses was told to make the tabernacle, he was told to make it according to the pattern that was shown him on the mountain, which means Moses was given a vision, much like John in Revelation. He was given a vision of a tabernacle that Hebrews says is not made with human hands, the heavenly tabernacle. And he made the earthly tabernacle as a pattern that God gave him to be an earthly reflection of the heavenly tabernacle. And notice that in the earthly tabernacle, on the four sides of the tabernacle, you had three tribes of Israel on each of the four sides. But notice the big difference between the tabernacle and New Jerusalem. The tabernacle is for traveling through the wilderness. It's portable. It moves. And the people of God encamp around the tabernacle and are outside of the tabernacle. In fact, they're not even allowed to be the closest to the tabernacle because that belongs to Moses and the priests, as well as to the sons of Levi, the Levites, who are in their three divisions that are shown there on the screen, which each had different tasks regarding the care of the tabernacle. So, while you have three on each side, what is being emphasized, the holiness of God in the midst of them, yes, they are marked out as the people in whose midst the holy God dwells, but at a distance, because they can't come too close. And if they ever want to enter into the tabernacle, they have to come with blood. And they can never enter into the most holy place, which is the inner sanctuary, which is the presence of God. Only the high priest could enter, and only one time a year, and only with blood of sacrifice for the Day of Atonement. In the New Jerusalem, the names of the tribes are written on the gates, three on each side, because they're in the city. And the city itself is the holy place. It is the place where God himself dwells. That's why there's no need for light of lamp or sun, because God dwells there. Nothing is accursed, for the throne of God and of the Lamb is in it. Now, the 12 stones of the foundation, whenever you hear 12 precious stones, different colors and different, should remind you of the breastplate of the high priest. The breastplate of the high priest had 12 precious stones to represent the people of God as he went into the presence. So on that Day of Atonement, when he would enter into the most holy place, which was the very presence of God, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, he had these 12 precious stones on his golden breastplate to represent the people of God before the Lord. And Christ is our high priest, who even now is in the presence of God and who represents us. We are close to his heart, and we are represented by him before the throne of God. But the day is coming when the people of God, represented by these 12 stones, will be in the city. And so the 12 stones become 12 foundations of the city. So 12 foundations of the city and 12 gates of the city show that the people of God are there. This is where the people of God are. This is who the people of God are, in fact, this holy city. And we are not just represented by Christ in the presence of God, but now we ourselves dwell in the very presence of God. And as we get into Revelation 22, we see the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the city. This imagery is being drawn from Ezekiel 47. In Ezekiel 47, Ezekiel is shown this glorious temple, which was never built on earth. And I believe the temple that Ezekiel was shown in the end of Ezekiel is not a rebuilt temple on the Temple Mount in earthly Jerusalem. Many people think, oh, Ezekiel was given this vision, we're looking forward to seeing the temple rebuilt on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. No, that misses the whole point of the temple, and it misses the whole point of the church. The church is that temple, Ephesians 2, 1 Peter 2, and New Jerusalem will be the glorious fulfillment of that temple. And one of the ways that temple is marked out in Ezekiel 47 is that the streams of living water flow from under the threshold of the temple out to the nations. Jesus said in John 7 that whoever believes in him, from our heart would flow streams of living water. And Jesus is telling us there, streams of living water flowing from, anyone in Israel who knew their Bible well should remember Ezekiel, you are the temple. Anyone who believes in me is part of that temple, because from that temple, the streams of living water, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit, flows out from us to the world. We are used by the Holy Spirit to bring the gospel, to bring the refreshing waters of life to the world. And when we get to the glory state in the new heavens and the new earth as the new Jerusalem, the streams of living water flow right through the very heart of us, right through the very heart of the people of God. And on either side of the river, the tree of life. Tree of life? We have to go all the way back to the very beginning to see that. Revelation ends by taking us back to the beginning to wrap up the entirety of Scripture with this image of the tree of life. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden. The garden was the presence of God with man. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were cut off from the tree of life, because for them to live forever in a sinful, fallen state would have been a curse, not a blessing. God drove them out of the garden. God placed a cherubim with a flaming sword. And ever since then, there's been distance between people and God because of our sin. But now that our sin is completely removed, and there's no more night, and there's no more evil, and there's no more pain, and there's no more sin, and there's no more sorrow, once we are perfected and glorified, once we are made just like the risen Lord Jesus, we are brought in, we're refreshed with the waters of life, and we're given the tree of life. 12 kinds of fruit. Again, the 12 tribes, the 12 people of God, 12 months of the year. 12 kinds of fruit. Every month, it's bearing fruit. It's always fruitful, and it's always healing. So that we live forever and we never hurt and we never die. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is who we are and this is where we're heading. We need to have this vision grip our hearts and our imaginations. Revelation was written to appeal to our imaginations for very good reason. And that is, in many ways, we live out of our imaginations. We live out of what we imagine is ideal, and we strive toward it. We live out of what we dream in our hearts could be, and we aim for that. In America, we talk about the American dream of having a good-paying middle-class job and having a house and a family and quality education for your children. And many of us have gotten there and have realized it's not all it was cracked up to be. Like, it doesn't lead to a life of endless bliss of Ozzy and Harriet and Leave It to Beaver. It's not, it's good, it's a good life, and we're thankful for it, but it's not the ultimate fulfillment of the longing of the human heart. And so the younger generation in America kind of doesn't really buy into the American dream anymore. They want a dream of adventure and excitement and exploration and lived life, authentic experience, travel. But that's not it either. What we are made for is for God and for glory, to be free of sin and sorrow and sickness and death, to live forever as the people of God in a renewed creation with joy and peace abundant, and we cannot find it anywhere in this world. So rather than letting the world capture our imaginations with what's possible, oh, if I only had more money, oh, if I only had more time, oh, if I only had more fame, oh, if only more people liked me, rather than letting the world capture our imaginations, we need to let God capture our imaginations and our hearts, and that's what he's trying to do in Revelation. He's trying to show us how dangerous it is here in this world, how easily we can be distracted, how much we can have our hearts divided, and then he's showing us our destiny to say, this is where you need to fix your heart. This is where you need to aim your dreams. One day, and one day soon, there will be no more sin, there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more sickness, there will be nothing to fear, no danger, no temptation, no threat, no anxiety, no loneliness, but only the presence of God, the waters of life, the healing of the tree of life, the fruit of the tree of life, the glory of God that shines like transparent gold with an inner luminance. It's beyond our comprehension what this is, but it can capture our imagination, and it can cause us to dream and to aim for what really matters. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are your children by your grace. You have made us your own. You have captured our hearts. And we're so thankful for that. And you've given us an eternal destiny. May our eternal destiny with you so captivate our imaginations, so fill our dreams, that we would be motivated to be ambassadors for Christ and overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony until that day when you bring us safely home with you. We look forward to that day and we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, please don't miss Friday morning as we come together for the last Revelation devotional in chapter 22. Have a blessed day in the Lord.